I know you just came in from a week. If it was like mine, it was absolutely crazy what went on this week. I could not believe the amount of people I met with. I couldn't believe the amount of people that were after me for one reason or another, or the amount of people who just wanted, and it just went on and it went on and it went on. And then in the cracks, you know what I did? I filled in the spare time with more voices that I needed to hear, from my computer to my email to turning the radio on to turning the CD on to getting in the car and turning on the radio and turning the CD on. And the week has just been nothing but a big noise fest coming at me. And you know what? I'm not alone, because I know a lot of your weeks go exactly the same way, week after week after week. And I've been in churches where they have mistreated the communion service, where they tag it on at the end, and you're looking at your watch and go, man, they should have been done 10 minutes ago, and they're just starting the communion service because they got to tag it on at the end of the service. So they've got a habit of doing it right now. And you get rushed through that and then thrown back out into your world. And I've determined years ago, I'm not doing that. I'm just not. I've got to sense the fact and sense the time when a congregation needs to just go like this. Shh. Quiet. We don't do a lot of that kind of stuff. In fact, the way the service ends this morning, the roof might come off before we're done. It really ends in a thunderous event, which is really kind of neat. But right now, we've been singing about Jesus has paid the debt. Jesus died on the cross for us. We've been singing the elements of the communion service. And so I thought this morning we would do communion a little bit different than you've done. If you've been with me long enough now, you know, every other time we do communion, it's never the same, because I don't want it to be the same old. I don't want us to get an air cannon up here and blow the communion at you with your mouths open and consider that we did it the right way. That's not it, all right? The right way is the way we're going to do it this morning. Listen carefully to me. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, if you would do so. It may be it's been a week since you prayed. It may be it's been a few days since you prayed. It may have been even a longer time since you've taken stock or inventory of yourself to see how you're doing spiritually. Am I really in touch with this God that I claim to have a relationship with, but don't really have enough time to spend with? With your head bowed right now, I just want it to be quiet. No music, no anything right now. Quiet in the quiet room, you thinking before the Lord and examining yourself before we have the elements of the bread representative of his body, his broken body, and the cup representative of his spilt blood for us. I want you to think and pray before the Holy Spirit. And if you've not been walking as you should, if there's sin that's cropped up in your life, or let's just say this, if there's sin that you've been enjoying, deal with it right now. The scripture warns us that let a man examine himself. This is serious stuff. We don't do this lightheartedly. So examine yourself before the Lord, and where he points out to you that work is needed, right now before him, confess, repent, means to turn away from it, and ask for his strength to turn away from it and stay away from it. I'm going to give us a minute or two of silent prayer in this room and utter quietness. Then I'll pray and close this time, and we'll go into the communion elements. Pray with me. And now, Father, I thank you that you've met us where we're at. I thank you for the forgiveness that you've offered us again through Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the promise to be with us to walk through the difficult areas that are ahead. And Father, I thank you that we get to take part in this communion time together, and in so doing, proclaim your death until you come, which is the mission that you put each of us on. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen very carefully, and I'm going to ask that you respectfully not talk during this time, although it would seem like the occasion could come up, but listen to me, don't. I'm going to read the communion passage and the instructions so that you once again understand what we're talking about. Everybody knows it. Need to hear it from the Word of God, not from Mike. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to close my Bible. I'm going to get out of the way. And they're going to play some instrumental music. And when you feel before the Holy Spirit, you want to come up and take the bread and the cup element, then I'm going to invite you to come up and take a piece of bread and a cup, and then find yourself back to your seat. And when you're ready before the Holy Spirit, then you take those in, thinking about what each one of them is. The bread being the body of Jesus Christ broken for you on the cross, destroyed for you on the cross, and the blood that was shed for you to pay the price for your sin for all eternity. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to ask you when you're ready and you're prepared before the Lord to come up and grab each of the elements, take them back to your seat. And when you're ready then to partake of them, listen to me, you before the Holy Spirit taking the communion elements, great time. Now, you know, in the future, there's other times. We do the community groups. We do intinction. There's other styles of serving. But this morning, I wanted you to have a chance for you to have communion alone with your Lord, you and Him, as you take in those elements. Let me read for us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, new agreement in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" And that's the mission each of us as followers of Christ have been put on. I invite you to come forward when you're ready to come pick up your elements and go back to your seat and have your private communion time, you and your Lord. Quiet before the Lord is important. And if you're if you don't have a regular habit of being quiet, at least I'd say every day, and read the Scripture before the Lord, you're missing out on something very special. And every so often, the church as a whole, and it doesn't matter if that church is 20 people or 20,000, needs to have some quiet time together to seek the Lord and fellowship with Him privately. Believe me, it makes a difference for us as a group. If you're not doing it, be looking into it. I'm going to ask you at this time if you would turn your attention to the screens, please. Let me read for you for just a moment. Hey, by the way, if you got notes, take a couple of these down if you can. They're going to go by real quick. Lord, aristocrat, baron, bishop, captain, commandant, commander, count, dad, don, duke, earl, governor, king, leader, magnet, man upstairs, monarch, nobility, noble, I don't like this one. Old man, overlord, parliamentarian, potentate, prince, royal, ruler, sovereign, the man, superior. Do you get those down? All of the languages have other words or phrases that indicate who Lord is. I've seen videos like this over and over and over again, and the majority of the people, when you ask them who is Lord or what is Lord, will come up with something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to discuss Jesus Christ as Lord. But all we're going to center on is this, is Lord. From the Philippians chapter 2 passage that we've been studying for how long now? Nobody has the courage to say it, do they?
4 years.
4 years. It's actually been since before Christmas, if you want to keep tabs. And listen carefully, the reason I'm doing this is because I am convinced that if we took a video and took you alone and took a video of you answering who is Lord and what is Lord, a lot of folks in here would have varying answers, and very few of them would be able to say exactly what Lord is. And this is an important part in my life in Christ, to have set in my heart, to have set in my mind. What does it mean to have Jesus Christ as Lord? And as I say it right now, you've got all kinds of, well, it means this, and then it means this, and then it means that. And what we want to do is to get this to a place that I operate on a basis of Jesus Christ as Lord. I don't have you do this all the time, but I'm going to read the Scripture this morning, and I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of this Scripture, which I think is one of the fundamental songs and marching orders of the church. Come on, stand with me. And you know it, and it is wonderful, and if we were going to do a memory verse or two, here it is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, Therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What do you say to that?
Amen.
What else could you say? Can you say it better? What do you say to that? Amen. Amen. That's it. That is the rest of our lives here on this planet, and it's the rest of our lives for eternity going forward. This is it. We just looked at it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this scripture this morning. We thank you for these words from Paul, which are the words from you. We thank you for who Jesus Christ is in the universe. In fact, once again, to be reminded that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every creature. Father, that's us. We will bow, and we look forward to that day. In fact, Father, we want our lives right now to be a life that's bowing before Him in worship as we call Him Lord. Father, use this time this morning, these few couple of minutes, to help us recalibrate and reset what it means for Jesus to be Lord of our lives. For it is truly in His name that we pray. Amen. Grab a seat. Grab your notes. Grab a pen. Grab the person next to you. We're going to go real quick. Okay, good. That was worth it, wasn't it? I think there's steps that we walk through to understand Lord. And I've tried to get them on paper for you. And I'm trying not to make this a college symposium so much, but I want you to see these terms and the range of meaning for Lord. The first point that's there on your note sheet from verse 11. Jesus is called Lord, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is called Lord. What does Lord mean? Well, let me do three things for you to show you in the scripture what the term Lord is, okay? The first one on your notes is this. The first one is a term called Sir. From Matthew chapter 13, 27, we see this. As a servant addresses the owner and calls him sir. You do the same thing today. When the waiter comes by after church and says to you, hey, would you like more water? And they start to pour water in your glass. And you say this to them. Thank you, sir. Thank you, kind sir. I'm one that uses the word sir. I don't know if you do or not, but I really do. It's probably the age I was growing up, and it's a polite expression directed towards somebody, just like a greeting. Thank you, sir, for holding the door. I held the door for a woman this week at a restaurant, and she was in a hurry, and I saw that she was, so I realized like two things. She's going to mow me down, go through this glass door. I better open it for her. And she was trucking from the parking lot into this restaurant. So I politely opened the door, and she stopped, and she looked at me and said, nobody's done that for me in a bunch of years. Thank you, kind sir. I think I was knighted, but I'm not sure. It was really kind of neat. So that's the word sir. Here's another one, being that's master. Master's in a relationship with a slave. In fact, the word in the Greek that you've heard before is kurios, which is lord. This is not just a term for an employer, though. The real idea comes from the master-slave relationship. You might not like the illustration, but that's what was common in the day. Somebody was master and somebody was slave. Hey, let me ask you this. Which one do you want to be? Everybody, one person has the courage to say it out loud. I want to be the master, of course. What you didn't hear him say, though, under his breath was, I am the master, of course. Hey, listen, from the master's perspective, if you're really the master, aren't you in control? Aren't you the top of the food chain? Aren't you the person who says something and everybody does it because you're the master? Is this making any sense to you? This is great. But have you ever looked at master from the slave's perspective? Everybody looks at it from the master's perspective. Oh, it'd be so cool to be the master. I could tell so-and-so what to do and so-and-so what to do and so-and-so what to do. And when I want iced tea, they bring it. Okay, great. Let's flip that around a little bit. How does the slave feel in the master setup or lord setup? How does he feel? Well, one, he knows he's owned, right? Two, in a lot of cases, he knows he's got a lifetime obligation to that master, so you better hope you got a halfway good one. Oh, by the way, as slave, I've got no plans. No plans are mine. Are you getting any of this? I have no plans. I am at the beck and call of my master. I live to serve my master, and I'm available to my master 24 hours a day for his purposes, his plans, his pleasure, his furtherance. It's not about me. They're not going to put my name on the board and say, let's honor Mike, who's the slave. It doesn't work that way. If I do good work, they'll honor my master because things went ahead forward because I did a good job as a slave. You know what? The scripture says in Matthew 6:24 that no one can ever have two masters. How about that? You can only have this kind of forced devotion of being under somebody as a slave to one person. And the picture in the scripture is that one person is Jesus Christ, who's our, and you've heard these terms before, is our Lord and our master. Now listen, honestly, people get very upset about this, even Christians when I talk to them about this, because I have been raised in a culture where nobody's going to tell me what to do. I live in the United States of... Okay, I've just seen if you remember that part. Okay, good. It's been a long time since I've heard that. And by, as an American right living here, I decide what I do, when I do, how I think, what I think, and you're not going to tell me anything. And that goes right up against the culture of the church, which says this, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died, and et cetera, and you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you will have him as Lord and Master. And inside me, I'm like, yeah, okay, that sounds good, but inside of me, there's still that little, isn't there? Because, hey, hold it, stop. If Jesus Christ is Lord and Master, that means this week I can't go out and do this. But I like to do this. I like to lie to my boss and get out of tough situations. I am a little dishonest with my spending and a little dishonest with my budget at work. But you know what? Nobody really knows. But if Jesus Christ was Lord and Master, I couldn't do those kind of things. Ooh. If Jesus Christ was Lord and Master, I couldn't look at those things on the computer that I like to look at, that nobody knows that I look at but me. And if you just picture it the whole time as you're looking at it, Jesus is sitting next to you going like this. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You're going to hear about that one later. Well, there is a judgment coming up. That's why I threw that in. Okay, good. You get the idea. You know what people often forget in Jesus Christ? What people, followers of Christ, forget? Is that you're always a slave to something. Listen carefully. Before Jesus Christ, did you think you were totally free? You were going to college, doing what you wanted to do. You were running the business the way you wanted. You were doing your family you wanted, had the friends you wanted, hung out at night the way you wanted. Do you think you were totally free then? Well, the scripture paints the picture as this. Before Jesus Christ, you were still a slave to something. You were a slave to sin with all of its consequences and rewards. You thought you were free, but you really weren't free. You were under the dominion of sin and paying the price for whatever that thing is. That's who you were under. Its whims, its wishes. You were a slave to sin. And now as you've come to Jesus Christ to be a follower of him and trust in him, you become a slave to Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is, as human beings in the human existence, you are either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Jesus Christ, and there's never a place where you're not a slave to something. Have you thought about that yet? And if you put that together and compare the two, you'll say, well, I'd rather have Christ as my master. Because the sin only leads to hurt. It leads to a dead end. It leads to emotional heartache, to psychological pain. It leads to places I don't want to go. I avoid that stuff. I want to be a slave to Jesus Christ and experience full life in him. Full life for right here and full life when I get to be with him in heaven. That's what I want. So, if Jesus Christ is my master, then I have no other allegiances, no other loyalties, including myself. And that friction with the culture, I'm going to deal with my entire life. Because there is a friction in my culture. And that friction in my culture is the fact that I want to live for Jesus Christ. And almost every outlet in my culture, almost everyone, from the time I go to school, to the things I put on the TV, to the things I play on the radio, to the things I play on the CD, to the things I look at in the computer, almost every outlet that comes to me and is talking to me is telling me that it's about me, I'm to enjoy myself. Hey, what's the difference? That sexual act is between two consenting adults. Nobody's getting hurt. Oh, don't worry about it. They're a big enough company, they won't miss a couple $100. Those accountants won't even come after you for that. And the logic of what goes on out there from a sinful society continues to bombard me from every place. And then the scripture calls me in Christ as a follower of Christ to make him Lord, to make him master, and not to act like that or be that way. And there's the rub that you and I are in the flesh if we seek to live for Jesus Christ, if you're honest about it. I love these churches that want to teach you this. You come to believe in Jesus Christ and all your problems are over. You come to believe in Jesus Christ and trust in Him as Lord and Savior, and you will no longer struggle with the matters of the world. Hey, I don't know what pill you have to take, but sign me up for that. I want a big help of that. I want a second dose of that. No longer any problems out there? You gotta be kidding me. That's what I want. But the truth of the matter is, let's tell the honest thing about the gospel. If you come to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you all of a sudden have become an enemy. Listen to who is your enemy. You become an enemy and a target of the unseen world out there of Satan. You are a target, and now somebody in the unseen world that you can't see has got you targeted and wants to take you down and hurt you. You not only have all the other stuff that goes on out there to tempt you, but you've got creatures in the universe that are actively working against you and want to see you fall and trip, and if they could, they'd take you over, but they can't. But they're going to make your life miserable if they can. Let's tell the truth about the gospel. When you come to Jesus Christ, you will get involved out there in situations representing Him where people will hate you. People will talk you down. It might keep you from a promotion. It might end some friendships. Are you getting the idea here? Let's talk the truth about Jesus Christ. There is a cost to be paid to make Him master and Lord. And the cost could be huge in your situation. We got that out. Do you feel better now? Let's give the true gospel message and understand what the price might be. That's just one part of it. The rest of it's absolutely fantastic. To have the peace of Jesus Christ, to know where you're going to be for eternity, to have His divine presence within you going through this muddled life, all of that and more, and then when it's all over to be with Him forever, that's a lot bigger file that we should concentrate on as well. But let's not forget the other and tell the truth. Jesus Christ was meant to be Lord and Master of your life if you say you believe in Him. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13 tells us that we do all things to the glory of God, whether it be eating, drinking, or anything else. And we do this best by having Christ as our Master to dominate every single area of our life. You're still taking notes. I've got a C in there, a third one, and that's the Lord. The term Lord corresponds to the Hebrew word Adonai, which is Lord or deity or God. You remember some of the terms in the Old Testament for, I should have my friend Makadam give a Hebrew lesson here, for the terms for God of Yahweh and Jehovah that were too holy to be spoken, so other words were made, and here's the word, Adonai. It was the word for Lord. It was a word that could be used while the other ones were too holy and couldn't be used. You can say whatever you want about that, but I love that. I love the fact that God is kept as God. I like the fact that there's a high view of God. God, the creator of this whole universe. I love that. And I love the fact they came up with another term, Lord. Let me move this along to the second point there from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Peter says this. You see all these things, all these factoids, all these biblical truths? He says this, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. In your heart, in your inmost being, you line up the facts about Jesus Christ. And then you, listen to me, with intentionality, with deliberateness, you set Him apart from everything else and make Him your Lord and your Master. If you do that, every single thing will be dramatically affected. And listen to me carefully. Everybody will be able to tell that you have set Jesus Christ apart as Lord and Master. Everybody in here has been married or been in a serious relationship or had puppy love. I don't know, when does that stuff start? About 12 years old, 13? 12, 13, puppy love? You know, guys, you know when you get a look at that girl, she comes in the door and, I don't know, you just see something and you go, man, I got to have me a piece of that. That's nice. Slice of that. That's good. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's how it is in the mountains, okay? In the city, it's not that way. It's like, can we date? All right. Okay, good. But remember when you first got to that feeling of knowing that you were in love and how cool that felt and it was just really nice? And did your friends ever come up to you and say this to you? I guarantee they did. I'm looking at you. You're in love, aren't you? Because you had this look. You had a countenance upon you, okay? I think it's the pre-nauseous look, but that's a whole other story. You have this look about you, and your friends can even come up to you in the beginnings of that relationship you had, even the person you're married to now, and they can walk up to you and go like this. You're in love, aren't you? I can just see it in your face. Has anybody had that happen to them? Of course you have, okay? Have you ever noticed when you pick your kid up from school, grade school kid up, and you get him in there, junior high, you get him in your car, and you look at him, and you're a parent, and you look at him, and what happens? You can tell, and you say to him, you're sick, aren't you? Let me feel your forehead. let me kiss your cheek. All the things parents do, which are not scientifically based, but it's just kind of cool to do, all right? And if you're the one receiving that, haven't you ever had your parent look at you or grandparent and go, you're not well, are you? That's always a loaded question, however you answer them. You're not well, are you? And they can tell you're sick by your eyes and your countenance, right? And I got a mom sitting up here, and she knows. I take a look, I can see the eyes. I can look at my grandkids, my kids, and I can just tell they're sick and they're battling a cold or the flu. Everybody got that? Hey, you go home today from church, and your dog has been in your bedroom and has chewed up your new leather shoes. And you walk in the house, and if you've had something like that happen, you know what this is all about. We're talking, they don't just chew them in half, they chew them in little pieces. I think it's a little message to you. You put the pieces back together, it'll spell something out, but that's another story, all right? But you got little pieces of leather all over your bedroom, and you know right away nobody was home but Rover. And you walk in the door, and what happens? Your dog doesn't come like usual up to you and go, how you doing? I want a big hug and kiss. I missed you. What happens? The dog goes and cowers somewhere because the dog knows he's done wrong. You haven't been to your bedroom yet, and you go like this. Okay, Rover, what'd you do? You ever had that experience? Everybody has, okay? It's easy to tell. You can't hide these things. Now, Mike's just not up here telling funny little quips. The reality is there's a truth to that. Because when you, as a follower of Christ, have set apart Jesus Christ as Lord and Master of your life, people around you can tell. It's unmistakable. It touches every single area in your life. It touches every cause. It touches every activity. It touches every whim. It touches every thought. It touches everything you think you should do. It touches everything you did do. It touches everything you wish for. It touches everything you're going for going forward. Having Jesus as Master and Lord is easy for the people around you to see, which makes me go this way now. And if they can't see that, or if I can't see that hanging out with my fellow believers, what does that mean? Wow. The people that this was written to, the people that was written to in Peter's time, were under severe persecution. So not a one of them could say this, but you don't understand. You don't know what my day's like. You don't know how tough it is out there. They were under severe persecution, severe ridicule for their faith. Some were being killed for their faith. Obviously, they, like you and I, struggle with doubt and uncertainty. And the reality is, Peter is saying, it does not matter what's going on out there. You set Jesus Christ apart in your heart. You set him apart as Lord and Master of your life. And it doesn't matter what's taking place in your life. Get this one thing straight and everything follows after that. In fact, so much so, I thought it'd be good to take a break right now and do a 1.5 minute exercise together. Can we do that? So don't look at your notes. Listen up here. I think it's important to confirm that Christ is truly Lord of your heart and Lord of your inner being. You seek to keep him there. While everything else is screaming to get him off there, you're seeking to keep him there. Let me ask you this question. Would you bow your head with me? I'm going to ask you a question. This past week, especially the past couple days, because those I can remember, these past couple days, could you say that everything you thought of and planned for was planned for in preference to Christ as Lord and Master? Can you say that? Heads bowed, you're thinking it out. You either just said yes to yourself, or you said maybe to yourself, or you said no to yourself. Was everything these past couple of days thought of and planned for in preference to Christ as Lord and Master in your life? Okay, you can look up. Tough question. I think a church that wants to do real ministry asks tough questions. And that's a tough one that we need to ask each other. Number 3, verse number 10. Listen to this with me. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. This is speaking of us. Did you know that? Philippians is talking about us. Philippians 2:10. Listen to this. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, that's mine, every knee should bow. My knee's going to bow. Every knee is going to bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. This is speaking of us. This is a worship response. This is a physical worship response. Worship, answer the question for me. Worship is playing an instrument, true or false? I love doing this. This is fun, okay? Worship is singing. Do wa diddy diddy dum diddy do. Did I just worship? Okay, not like that. I guess not. Okay, good. I'm glad we covered that. And by the way, if anybody knows where that movie's from, shame on you, all of you. Okay. Let me keep going. Worship was me coming to church.
Can be.
You're going to be a politician. I love this. Okay, here we go. Let me keep going. All right. Worship was when I stood up for the first song. This is great. No, that's right. We're all running for office. I'm not done yet, okay? Worship was when I listened to the sermon. I love you, Florence, but the answer is probably going to be no across the board, okay? Worship was when I listened to the sermon. Okay? Worship was when I read the scripture. Okay, you're in a roll now, all right? Okay, good. Okay, good. We're doing good. You guys are like, I got you, okay? Worship, listen to me carefully. I am going to respond. Now, all those answers, by the way, could have gone either way. Because I could literally come in here and sing like a dove. Do doves sing? I don't even know, okay? I could come in here and sing like a winged bird who sings well, whose name I can't think of right now, all right? I'd come in and do that, and you people could go like this. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, great. All right. I come in and pick up that guitar, and I'll tell you what, 6 strings is not enough. I need 12. In fact, I've got a guitar at home that's got 18 strings. Absolutely amazing. You need big hands, but it's just amazing what you can do with that. That's tremendous sound, by the way. That's full sound. All right. I'm not done. I could come to church. I could speak the word of God. I could preach the word of God. I could stand when they tell me and kneel when they tell me and sit when they tell me. And when they tell me dismissed, I could leave. I could do all that obediently. And all of that may be worship, and it really might not be worship, depending upon where you're coming from. This scripture is so cool because it says this. There is a day in the future. There is a day, by the way, closer to today than ever before. There is a day in the relative future to all of us where every single knee ever created, and you're thinking it's people. Well, it probably is. But this goes further than this. This is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. This goes down to the creatures that you read about in scripture that are scary looking because they're not what you're used to seeing. Wings here and wings here and wings here and wings there. And all these creatures, there's a day coming when every single one of them will bow their knees to Jesus Christ and worship Him. You will be part of it. I will be part of it because we will see Jesus as He is. And when we do, we're going to have one response to that. And it's not going to be one of these where I'm standing there talking in the back of the room going, gee, I wonder if we should bow or not. Yeah, well, boy, I don't know if we should. God of the universe and look at Him. There'll be none of that. There'll be an immediate response on your knees. In fact, I always said that somebody asked me the other day, what are you going to do when you first get to heaven? They're thinking, do you want to talk to your mom? Do you want to talk to this one? Do you want to talk to that? I didn't think any of that. I said, the first thing I'm going to do is probably going to see Jesus. And if you're anywhere nearby, I'm going to be flat on my face in front of him saying, man, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry. Just because it's an awesome thing. And the other thing is I'm not really going to say sorry. I'm going to say I'm worshiping you. I'm worshiping you because this place that I'm at is more fantastic than I ever imagined. The truth of the matter, if you're taking notes, is this, is that our one response with every single being in creation is to worship. I will join the whole bit. The angels? Yes, I will. I will join the demons? Yes, I will. I will join all those other creatures that are around the universe that I can't even see? Yes, I will. As everything that's been created comes to this incredible place of worshiping Jesus Christ as God and as Lord. You got your notes in front of you? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. It says that the angels recognize and worship Christ as God. It says, let all the angels worship Him. The spirit world is worshiping Him right now. Listen carefully. I love this. I don't have time to go into this, but this is a great study for you. Go through the New Testament and look at the places where Jesus, as He walked on the earth, encountered spiritual beings, mostly demons. Read those accounts in the Scripture, and you know what you'll see each time? In each occurrence, those demons, those beings from the other world that won't worship Jesus Christ, those beings acknowledged to Him who He was without batting an eyelash. In fact, we have one account where one begs for mercy and says, don't do that to me, but send me there, realizing Christ had the power to do it. In every encounter with the darkness of supernatural, they acknowledge Jesus Christ as God and the Lord that He is. Imagine that. I sit here on the earth and I debate whether Jesus Christ should be Lord or not. I debate whether Jesus Christ is real or not. In fact, the story of the past 5-6 years, you can read in any of your secular magazines and on the internet, Jesus Christ really didn't exist. It's really not true. And you read through this stuff, and I tell you this, the demons looked at Christ. The demons looked at Christ and saw who He was for who He was. And their immediate response was, don't hurt me. And they responded to Him and acknowledged Him as God and as Lord. I don't know if you've seen that before, but it's a great study to do. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10 here. Christ is exalted above all else and given a name that is above all other names. What's the name? Lord! Lord of all! And as proof, every knee bows as creation responds to Him and worships Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now, if you would do that. If you would think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture commands me to focus on Him and to worship Him as God for this life. Stop right now. For this life and the things of this life. The Scripture commands me to focus on Him and worship Him for this life. And then that carries over to the next life. Let me ask you this. Do you worship Christ as the God that He is? Do you consciously think about it during your day and seek to worship Jesus Christ as the God that He is? Let me keep going here. Does He have that place in your life in every single area where you can say, you know what, my job's a struggle, but Jesus Christ is Lord and Master and is taking me through it. Do acknowledge Him in all of the places of your life, the real good ones and the ones that are not so good. And then let me ask you this. If you were to worship Christ like that, then what would have to be different in your life? What's holding you back from worshiping Christ like that? The God that we're going to worship forever. What's holding you back? With your head bowed, just realize this. If you've made an analysis this morning, you've come up on the short end and you're a little bit discouraged over it, listen carefully. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have Him as your Savior and your Lord, you have indeed asked Him into your heart and in so doing have gotten the person of the Holy Spirit who's living within you to help you to do all these things which don't come naturally, and that's worshiping Jesus as Lord. Our Father, we thank You for this Scripture this morning. We thank You for the exercise in worship we're about to take part in. And Father, I pray that everything that is said and done here would be done for Your glory and for Your magnification. For You deserve it as God. For it is in Your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you now to make sure that there's nothing on your lap. You know, the one thing we don't do as a community well and we shy away from, we treat church like theater, by the way. I come in, I paid my little tab. In our case, it's the offering box. I paid my little tab. That's my ticket price. By the way, if you didn't do that yet today, you need to do it. Okay, just having fun. But listen, we've got that, and then you come and you sit in your seat. Some of you have assigned seats. You sit in the same kind of place. I know where you're at, and when you're not there, I know you're not there. You know that, because in our theater, we assign seats. Now, don't mess with nothing, because this is my seat. I will stand when it's time to stand, and I will sit when it's time to sit. And when I'm done with that, I will leave. Because that's what you do in theater. The lights come back up, and it's time to go home. Well, this morning, we're going to do something you can only do a couple times a year, and that's this. We're going to worship Jesus Christ. You say, Mike, what's so unusual about that? What's unusual about that is in this case, I'm going to ask you to do it physically with me. I'm going to ask that your physical would back up what your heart says right now. And don't worry, I'm not going to have you sit on your knees for the next 15 minutes. That'd be tough for a lot of us, okay? What I'm going to ask you to do is this. The band is going to start playing here. I'm going to ask you to stand in response to that. But that's not good enough. I'm going to ask you then to come forward. In fact, I've been in a few churches where I've done this with them. Big audience. I say, hey, come on up on stage with the band. Some people run to the front. They're just frustrated musicians who aren't ever in the band. So I'll just admit what it is, and they want to be a singer, and et cetera. But hey, listen, if you want to come up and you want to become part of this front area and come up in here, come on up as we as a family now worship Jesus Christ together with a song that we've selected that I think does this very appropriately. So I'll get it going. Everybody stand. We're going to start and come on forward.